This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. Every week on this program, we receive hundreds of questions and work hard to get you answers to as many of them as we can. On Wednesday, we took questions from kids. They have felt the impact of the pandemic profoundly and don't often get a chance to be heard. And we want to make sure we answer all of the questions that we got from kids. So today, we are going to welcome back Dr. Wajiko Jirage. She is medical director for the Young Child Clinic at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and an assistant professor of psychiatry at Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Jirage, thanks for coming back to go through the rest of these questions we got from kids.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
And let's start with one from a kid in the state where I was born.
Hi, this is James Matthew from Bismarck, Dakota. I was wondering when coronavirus is going to end, and if it's not ending anytime soon, is it okay to play Friends?
Dr. Jirage, what would you tell James Matthew of Bismarck, North Dakota? Can he play with friends, and when is this going to be over?
Yeah, well, James Matthew, that's the $100 million question. Unfortunately, we don't know when it's going to end. And that's why everyone all across the world has been working so hard to prevent the spread of this disease by sheltering in place, wearing masks, hand washing, and all the really difficult things that all of us have been doing, as well as you guys have been doing in Bismarck. So what that really means is playing with friends is going to look a little bit different than it did last summer. What I suggest is that you and your parents have to come up with some really creative and cool ideas and ways to play with your friends that includes physical distancing, because we know that's how this virus spreads. Last time on Wednesday, when we were talking with Susanna Stuyvesant, she mentioned this was the summer of badminton. Now, I have to be honest, that is not really a game that I particularly like. However, if you like it, you should play it, and if not, you guys can come up with some really cool ideas and ways that you can still see your friends but still remain safe.
Okay. On a similar note, here's a question from Peter in Louisville, Virginia.
I just wanted to know if I would be able to bike to my friend's house in the summer, which in previous years I have done almost every day. Do you think by July or August I'll be able to do that?
Dr. Jirage, could Peter bike to his friend's house?
So the short answer is bike riding is okay. So biking to your friend's house is okay. Now, this is a little bit like James Matthew's questions about playing with friends. So it's the being close to your friends that you probably aren't going to be able to do. Now, when you're riding a bike, of course, wear your helmet, because we know that there are a ton of benefits associated with being outside. And that works for all of us, parents and kids alike. So if you're going outside, if you're biking, you still need to follow the same rules that we've been following, which is to physically distance, keeping 6 feet or more away from others, taking hand sanitizer, don't touch anything outside of your bike, and then, you know, maybe you can just go by your friend's house, they can maybe be on their porch, you guys can talk, and then you can bike back home. And hopefully next summer, you'll be able to do what you did last summer.
That's great. And bring your own drinks and snacks.
That's exactly right.
Next, we have a topic that is very popular among our young listeners. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Zola, and I'm calling from Southern California. My question is, are there discussions about returning back to school on a national level? And if we do return to school in the fall, what would that look like?
Dr. Jirage, the CDC recently released back-to-school guidelines. What are some of the recommendations?
Yeah, so, I mean, this just really happened just today, Zola. So the CDC now has a school decisions tool on their website. And really what it seems to be is a decision tree that's really going to help schools in thinking about what they need to do prior to reopening. So there are a lot of key things before schools reopen, and part of that's going to be the school districts really working in concert with local and state health departments to make sure that everyone's aware of what's happening in the time, and particularly for you in Southern California. So what that will probably look like when school reopens is there'll be some sort of screening for both students and staff on arrival. This might just be asking you guys questions about how you're feeling. It may include checking your temperature. They also need to have plans in place to protect vulnerable populations, both kids and staff. There's going to be a whole lot of hygiene measures with hand washing, cleaning and disinfecting surfaces. I think they're even thinking about ventilation, how that might work. Of course, face masks. They're going to think about group sizes and continuing to restrict the physical distancing and group size numbers. And then there may be some innovative ideas that may come out of this in terms of staffing. So maybe the kids will stay in their classrooms and the teachers will rotate, or they'll sort of do split schedules. I think there's just a lot of thought that will be going on over the course of the summer as we get closer to the school year. But it's really going to be about making sure that when kids are ready to go back to school, when schools are ready to reopen, that there will be protections in place to ensure that everyone is safe and you guys are able to learn.
It also sounds like policies might be different depending on where you are and that it wouldn't be one size fits all for the whole country.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the way this thing is playing out for in almost every single thing, is that this, the way that the spread and transmission is happening just really differs from city to city and state to state and even within states. And so I think that's what's going to make all this work a little bit difficult for everyone moving forward.
Okay, our next young listener, Nina, is curious about COVID-19's effects on preteens.
I understand that older people, and especially those with underlying conditions, are the most affected. But my question is, will I, being the age of 13, have a slightly lower chance of being infected, or is there a much lower chance because of my age?
Okay, so technically not a preteen. 13 is a teenager, but what how would you put the risks for somebody around the age of 13 into context for Nina?
Yeah, well, so what we know, and of course this is always changing as we get more data, but right now what we know for kids under the age of 18 is that although the risk of infection is pretty much the same as the general population, if kids do become infected, they just have a much milder version of this disease. And so the pediatric cases of symptomatic COVID-19 just are far less common when compared to adults and nowhere near as severe. And there's typically a pretty good prognosis with kids recovering within 1 to 2 weeks. So I think that's the good news of this story.
Yeah, that's reassuring. Let's listen to this question from Adela in New York, who has a big family event this summer.
It is going to be my brother's birthday in August. He is going to turn 1 year old. When will there be small gatherings to up to 10 people?
It sounds like her brother might have said hello in the background there. Dr. Giraga, what would you tell Adela there?
Well, Adela, first of all, this is super exciting. Turning one is a very big deal. And I am a big sister myself, so I know what it's like to have a little brother and how important it is to celebrate birthdays. But right now, things are really different. And so families haven't been able to celebrate birthdays in the exact same way. So while there still may be cake and gifts and games, it's not going to probably be the entire family with all the people that you love there. This is what we kind of keep saying over and over again, is that where things stand right now, what we know is that when there are large amounts of people at birthday parties or events, that the disease can spread. Then when people leave the party, they can spread that virus to other people who spread it to other people and so on and so forth. And we've been calling that a super spreading event. So the tricky thing about this is that sometimes people don't even know that they're sick. That's why we're wearing these face masks. So while birthday parties are fantastic, it's going to have to be like we've been saying all night tonight, which is it's going to look a little bit differently. And I think that, as Ari just was mentioning a little while ago, that your state is going to continue to monitor what's happening in New York and in the city in which you live, and that they're going to, the state and city departments of health
will make some determinations.
Yeah. Figure out what's going on at the time.
Dr. Wajiko Giraga, thank you for answering these questions for us.
You're welcome.
She's medical director for the Young Child Clinic at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and an assistant professor of psychiatry at Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. And this is the National Conversation with All Things Considered.